So we finished up with Mormons last week, fun bunch. I thoroughly enjoyed studying the founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith. Interesting character, very interesting. But moving on to Reformed theology, or what is known as Calvinist. Calvinism is one of those. I see it as very simple. But it seems like you get in circles, and it just seems like some people are really confused by it. And there seems to be a lot of confusion that goes on with Calvinism. Who here does not know what the basis of the Calvinistic doctrine is? Anybody doesn't know what Calvinism is? Sister? Okay. Well, we're actually going to address that in going through here, but I'll give you my layman's definition of Calvinism. That all men are not eligible for salvation. Only those that God chooses can get saved. Pretty simple. Does that sound right?
Say it again.
So basically, I'm just out of my brain. So that all men are not eligible for salvation. Only those that God chooses or foreordained that would get saved are the ones that get saved.
And God is in sovereign control of every detail of everybody's
life. Right. So, still have a question about the basic understanding of Calvinism, what it is they believe? Okay. Did you have a question? Okay. Does that sound right to anybody? Good. So, because that's wrong. You can argue with a Calvinist till you're blue in the face, and you're not going to argue them down off of that. The only thing you can do is give them scripture, like anyone else. Just give them scripture, and let God deal with their heart on that issue. But don't ever get drawn into considering Calvinistic doctrine, because they are very creative in how they support it through the scripture. But if you really know the scripture, the whole counsel of God, that's not easy to refute that. So Reformed theology, you'll see Reformed, there's a Reformed Baptist Church in Greenfield. Drive by it all the time. You'll see Reformed Methodist, Reformed this, Reformed that. If you see that Reformed, that pretty much means they have Calvinistic doctrine. Okay. So this total depravity of man, this is the belief that man is so totally depraved that he has no ability to cry out to God for salvation. The only way to be saved is for God to choose you. So John 1:12. Let's see what the Word of God actually has to say about that. Somebody get John 3:16 for me. What's that? Okay. Who's whosoever mean? Does whosoever mean just you guys over here and not you guys over here?
Means everybody.
If I got a pie up here and I say, whosoever will come up and get a piece of this pie can have it, but not you guys. Right? So whosoever means whosoever. John 1:12. Anybody got that?
But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Can you read that again?
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
What's the key to that verse? What's that? Okay. Read it one more time.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Okay. To as many as
received him.
That totally refutes the idea that you're forced, like Brother Kyle was talking about. If God preordained it, then you didn't receive it. Because that statement there is a statement of choice. To as many as received him. In other words, they had the potential to deny him as well, right? They had a choice. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. They had to be willing to receive first. So that whole idea that it's predestined, preordained, you have no choice in the matter. It was planned before creation that you were going to get saved and you had no choice in that. That totally abolishes the doctrine of free will. God didn't make a bunch of autonomous robots. He made a bunch of human beings with free will. You know, it goes all the way back to the garden. If that whole doctrine be true, then God is responsible for the fall. Right? Which would make God what? A liar. It would make him a liar. Right?
Yes.
Trisha, you look like you're...
What?
I'm killing you. Am I killing you? So, if God is not the... God is not the author of evil, right?
God is not the author of what?
Of evil, right?
Oh, no.
God cannot lie, right?
He cannot lie.
Okay. So... if God did not give man free will to choose whether or not to be saved, right? If God preordained everything that was going to happen, if you lived according to destiny. So in other words, what was going to happen to you the minute you walked out of here was fixed. You didn't have a choice in the matter, right? It was fixed. Then you have no free will. Therefore, Adam had no free will, which would mean that God was responsible. He had planned for Adam to fall. He did plan for Adam to fall. He didn't plan for Adam to fall. You see what I mean? He planned in response for all things. I hate Calvinism. It just goes down so many avenues, and it creates so much confusion in the whole preordained, destined, and it just, that's what I'm talking about. It just gets way too confusing. That's why I just like to keep it very simple in that God did not preordain that you had no choice.
Gives them a sense of an excuse, you know. Well, you know, no matter what I do, God's got it. You know, I mean, I would think that would give them
a way out.
Put in words, yeah. No responsibility of their own actions, you know, because God had it. Or God, you know.
They can blame God.
Yeah.
Well, I think even worse than that, it gives them a heightened sense of superiority. Like, I'm special because God chose me.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, that's a thing of pride.
Yeah. Pastors told me somebody that was counseling one time, the Calvinist. He said, "So you're telling me that if you go out and choose cheat on your wife. It was God's will. Yeah. Because I would say anything you do, God not only allows, but since God is sovereign and controls everything, then that was, anything that happens is God's will.
Right.
See, that's
crazy.
So once you follow that train of thought down, it's like that's where it goes.
Yep. It's a poison apple, if you will.
Pure evil.
It's
that's what
horrible.
It is.
Well, it creates so many problems that just attack the sovereignty of God,
mm-hmm.
and the holiness of God in light of the sovereignty of God, because it puts so much on God that is sin, right?
Yeah.
And the whole idea of, you know, oh, we were chosen. Well, I heard somebody say one time, and I thought it was really good. My favorite question to ask a Calvinist is, so are your kids saved?
Well, even that, if their kids mess up, they don't have responsibility of parenting your children because...
But what if your kid is not one of the ones that God chose to get saved?
Right.
Every Calvinist child is saved. You'll never meet one that says, yeah, I don't think my kid's saved.
Oh.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like everybody they care about is saved.
It's funny how that works.
It's funny how that works, right? So Acts 17:30-31. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. All means all, and all is all means. You know, it's really hard to, for me personally, I don't understand, it's really hard to make a long, drawn out lesson on Calvinism because I find it so foolish. You have to do so many mental gymnastics to believe that doctrine. And you have to mutilate the scripture. For whosoever... what was the other one? What was the one you read? For whosoever will,
as many as
received him, to them gave him. On and on and on and on. All, huh?
God so loved the world.
God so loved the world. I mean, where, and this all goes back to Arminian. I think it goes even further. Was Arminian or was influenced, I believe. Calvin was influenced by Arminianism. That's what it was, yeah. If you go back and trace the roots of Calvinism and you see where some of this stuff was born, and that's why it's really important. When you're looking at something, go back to the root of it. See where it began and who it began with and examine that person. And that'll tell you a great deal about it. And if you can sit down and with a clear conscience say, yep, I think that's right. We might argue against you. But it's just like with Mormonism. I didn't really know a great deal about Mormonism, but when I started studying Joseph Smith, that's all I needed to know. That guy was a crook.
Same thing with John Calvin.
Though. Right. And you go back and study Calvinism and John Calvin. Go back and see how he was influenced by Arminianism. And the depravity. Arminianism is this whole depraved. Man is so depraved that it is impossible for him to get saved. Like, he can't even believe. He cannot generate faith to trust enough to get saved. That you're so depraved that you're just totally unreachable.
It's not what the Bible teaches.
Right. And, you just start studying the stuff and you start seeing the fallacies of it, and you're just like, and then you see how one thing influences another. Yeah.
Do they have, I don't know anything about Paladin.
Good.
I didn't even know it existed until I come here. Even in the end of the world. But do they read the Bible, or do they have like a Korean, you know, they have their own Bible?
They have their own. It's based on the John Calvin's book, right?
Oh.
Well, they do reference John Calvin's book a lot, but when they get up and preach, like that Reformed Baptist Church in Greenfield, they preach out of a King James Version a lot of times, or they'll use an NIV. They completely ignore whole passages of Scripture.
Right,
but they choose the ones that say election. And
right, they take that. You know, I haven't actually looked it up, but I think I will now this afternoon. I want to go home and actually look up how many times the word election is used in the Bible. I bet you it's not more than a dozen. I bet it's less than a dozen times the word election is used. But they take that word and make a huge doctrine out of it. But you look at how many times the word whosoever, all, the world, in reference to passages that deal with salvation, and see how many times those are used. And that's completely ignored. Brother Cobb?
Oh, yeah, I just looked up the word elect, so all forms of elect are election 28 times.
28 times in the whole Bible?
Yeah, so there's elect and election. Actually, it even pulled up, I put it in elect, it pulled up delectable because elect is in there. So let me just narrow that down to just exactly.
So it just, even in any form, 17. Elect.
17.
17 times. And we're up here teaching a whole class about it. I mean, there's a whole denomination of religion because of a word that was used 17 times in Scripture. Election. Because somebody just didn't do their homework and understand what election means. So let's talk about that. What does election mean? Because that is really the whole basis, is this doctrine of election that they believe they were chosen to be saved and everybody else isn't. So what is the doctrine of election?
I thought it was to elect a person to be in charge.
Well, the biblical doctrine of election as it pertains to salvation.
I gotcha.
The doctrine of election. Mm-hmm. Brother, nobody in here has anything to offer, Brother John?
Well, the way I understand it, the way they present it, most of them present it, and of course, there's, just like when you go back to the debate between Arminianism and Calvinism, there are a lot of different sects and groups that take it in different doses or amounts. So, but the way I understand it is that most people, when they talk about the doctrine of election, most Calvinists, what they're saying, especially hyper-Calvinists, is that God has elected some to be saved and some to be damned.
Right.
And so that really man doesn't have a choice in the matter. And the problem with that is that I've never known a Calvinist that's a decent soul winner.
They
believe that if you're elected unto salvation, you're going to get saved anyway. You'll come unto it. So why should they go out and tell you about it? And that if you're not elect, you're going to be damned, so they're wasting their time and their breath to tell you about salvation, because you're not going to accept it anyway. You can't.
So now the Great Commission's worthless.
They feel like you're kind of sealed into one camp or another.
Right.
You're either going to be damned or you're going to be elect, you're going to be saved. And that's why Calvinists are just horrible soul winners. They're not soul winners, period. And, but yet, what they'll do is they'll rationalize every passage that says he died for the whole world. They say that that's just the way the word's used. It's a grouping, you know? And they'll just say that's like a possessive or a plural noun. And he's not really referring to everybody individually, but he's just referring to like the whole thing. It's not his will that any should perish, but he knows they will.
Right.
And why? Well, because he knew they wouldn't, he elected them to it, you know? It doesn't make any sense.
So, according to God's foreknowledge, did he know before the foundation of the earth was laid who would get saved and who wouldn't?
Yes. I believe he did.
I agree. And I think the scripture shows that too.
Yes.
Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple.
Amen. So here's the question that I have for you. God knew before the foundation of the worlds were laid who would and who would not get saved. Not according to his will. His will was that all men would be saved. But according to their free will, their choice. Okay? Open invitation, you take it or you leave it. Okay? If you knew, as God, who would receive and who would not. Just like the verse she just read, draws all men to him. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws you to the truth, right? That deals with your heart, that brings you to the place of repentance, right? Would God be just if he didn't offer salvation to all men?
No,
he wouldn't. So even though in his foreknowledge he knows you're not going to get saved. Look, hey, here's your opportunity. You're going to get saved? Nope, okay. I offered it to you so that no man can stand at the day of judgment and say, hey, you didn't give me the same opportunity you gave him. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I offered it to you. Mm-hmm. You refused. Was I obligated to offer it to you more than once?
No.
No. But I did, because you had, how old are you, sister?
80.
80? If you weren't saved, you've had 80 years. Mm-hmm. How many times over 80 years have you had the opportunity to hear the gospel? It's church on every street corner, street preachers, gospel tracts going around. The word is plentiful. Not saying, well, we don't do a very good job of sending forth laborers, but the fact of the matter is, the heavens declare his handiwork.
Well, here's something that I find interesting. And there's all kinds of arguments you can get to when you start going down the path. But the Bible says that hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels. Mm-hmm. Now, if God were halfway smart, and I'm not trying to say he's not, but I'm just saying the way the world thinks.
It's just a funny statement.
If God were halfway smart, don't you think that when he created the heavens and the earth and everything, and he created hell too, and it says it was created for the angel and or the devil and his fallen angels, okay? Now, I know he created heaven for all the saints, mm-hmm. the righteous, okay? Then where did the unsaved go? I mean, why didn't God create a place for them if he was going to damn them and say that they couldn't get saved? And if he elected some not to get saved? Because I've always heard this, and as far as I know, it's correct. I don't see anything in the Bible that would be against it, but I've always heard it preached that if you go to hell, you're an intruder. Hmm. God never intended for man to go to hell. He didn't create hell for man. He created hell for Satan and the fallen angels. Right. So, if, you know, it would just seem to me that if the Calvinistic argument has any kind of credibility at all, then there's an oversight there on God's part, because he didn't create a place for the people that he elected to be damned.
Right.
He didn't create a place for them to go.
I've often seen the created for the devil and his angels, and just seen that in scripture, and it's always caught my eye. And I've often had the same thoughts, like, you know, nowhere in there does it mention created for the lost. And I've often thought about that in terms of that, you know, it wasn't God's intention that anyone should die and go to hell. He made the plan of salvation. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Who sends you to hell? You. God is inviting you to glory with him in all eternity. Man rejects that. He cast himself into outer darkness. But we're out of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll finish this discussion next week and get further into the unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. I'll be honest, I can't stand dealing with Calvinism. Yes, sister.
I just want to say one thing.
Yep.
That's it. That if God didn't pour out his heart to everyone, why would he even write the Bible for people to be saved? And then in Proverbs, it talks about knowledge, and it says in Proverbs 1:23, turn you at my reproof, behold, I pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye have refused. I stretch out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And then it goes on and it says, then I shall call upon you, but ye will not answer, and ye shall seek me early, but ye shall not find me. So he's calling out to everyone and giving him his counsel, but then people refuse. So it's everyone.
What was that, Proverbs?
Proverbs 1:23 through on down.
I just, Calvinism just, to me, is blasphemy.
Absolutely.
It's just blasphemy. It attacks so much of the holy nature of God. It puts so much at his feet, you know, that God's not just, that God's not holy. You know, it completely attacks the sovereignty and the holiness of God. Yes, sister.
You asked earlier what the scripture says the elect are, not what Calvinism. And I looked it up, see what my Bible would say. It does say one called to everlasting life, the saved collectively. So it's not an elect person or elect group in the sense of people in general. It's those that choose to be saved gathered together.
Right. Amen. We'll dive more into that next week. And I appreciate all the feedback. That's, you guys are thinking. I like that. We come together, we discuss these topics, you know, hear other people's thoughts and scriptural references that God brings to other people's minds. That's great. That's awesome. Challenge that topic as a whole. I just don't understand why in the world anybody could ever swallow the pill of Calvinism. I don't understand it. But we just want to know why we don't believe it and be able to help others if they're confused by it, and try to support our belief by the Word of God, and prove all things. Prove all things. Hold fast to that, which is good. Well, let's be dismissed in prayer. Travis, will you dismiss us in prayer this morning?
Dear Lord, we come here to thank you for the service that Dad preached, and let us sit for everybody, how it should sit, in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.